Her eyes are squeezed tight shut, and the shadows beneath them show. It's been over a week since she made her appeal to Reese Lindstrom. She has no way of knowing if he's avoiding her or simply hasn't found a way to get back to the hospital, or has just decided not to help her at all. All she can do is wait. It's a couple of minutes before she straightens. She peels one hand away from where she's gripping the mop, white-knuckled, stares at that tattoo on her wrist. Samara. Her hand is still a fist, and her eyes are glued to the letters inked into her skin. She drags in a slow, shuddering breath, lets it out just as choppy as it came in. She tries another and another, and eventually she manages one that's a little smoother. And then, because there's nothing else she can do, she turns to confront the bloodied room once more.
Briefing note. Meanwhile, everyone's favorite Jerry is making more friends.
Acquisition Team Report, Baytech Industries. Incept, 08:30:75. 02:18 hours, Terran Standard. Location, Carenza 4, Occupied WUC Mining Colony. Ident, Lindstrom, Reese. Rank, Specialist.
Lieutenant Christie, this is my official report on the incident of 08:29:75. To be honest with you, I've not had much need to write many after-action reports aboard the Magellan, so apologies in advance for errors in tone/protocols. I expect Sergeant Oshiro will also be logging an incident report with you shortly, so between the pair of us, you should have a full picture of events. If I am required to testify at court-martial, of course I will make myself available. Sit rep. Just before midnight, 08:29:75, I paused my assigned repairs to the relay systems in the Carenza Colony power plant to get some rack time. Security detail had just completed shift change, and Sergeant Oshiro and I bundled back into a waiting APC along with the four troopers who'd just wrapped up local patrol duty. Marcino Ray, Master Sergeant. Ali Kazim, Corporal. Zhu Yingtai, Private. Louis Linden, Private. I'd been cooped up in the station's basement all day, so I called shotgun with Zhu, while the rest sat in back. We rolled out from the plant around 030 hours. Curfew was in effect, and the streets were empty. A cold front had dropped from the north, and wind was picking up. Snow was coming down thicker than I'd ever seen, and Zhu and I both switched to thermoptics since visibility was shot. We were just trundling, barely above walking pace, relying on GPS and the APC's collision detection systems to get us back to barracks. "You were on the Magellan, right?" Zhu asked. She was just an insectoid shape in the driver's seat, the cluster of optics and heat sig from her Atlas's power core glowing bright red. "That's right. Must have royally pissed someone off to get posted down here, Cherry," she chuckled. "You shitting the Admiral's chow, or fuck?" Zhu hit the skids as the collision alarm sounded, tires crunching in the snow as the APC crashed into a rusted dumpster resting in the shadow of the partially collapsed Cineplex. The snow was coming down so thick, even collision detection hadn't spotted the container until it was too late. Metal groaned as Zhu slammed the APC into reverse, started to back it up. But as we pulled free of the trash container, I saw the flash of a heat sig spring out from beneath the lid and go running down the APC's passenger side. "You see that?" Zhu cursed, ripped off her driver's harness, squinting out through the blast specs windshield. I saw the heat sig disappear down a narrow alley between a couple of abandoned stores. Small. Fast. Human. Zhu was already out of her seat, kicking open the driver's door and bailing out into the blizzard, VK rifle humming to life. "Contact! Contact!" Master Sergeant Marcino's voice crackled over comms. "Report! Unidentified body heading east, 663-905. Copy that. Foot pursuit, pattern gamma, calling backup." I heard the rear hatch of the APC hiss, boots in the snow. I stumbled out into the gale, VK in hand. Zhu was already powering off down the alley in pursuit, Ali and Louis dashing down the block. Marcino pointed to me and Oshiro. You two follow me. Oshiro glanced my way. Sir, I've orders to keep the specialist under guard. If he's in f***ing uniform, he's pounding ground with the rest of us. Move it! Marcino was off through the snow, barking into comms for backup. With a curse, Oshira shouldered her flechette cannon and yelled at me to get the lead out, and we were off in pursuit, the whole world sketched in pitch black and howling white. I'd not really run hard in an Atlas before. Couldn't help but be amazed. The suit's nanoweave muscle augmented my every movement. Even on foot, we must have been pushing 50 kilometers an hour. My eyes were fixed on Oshira's heat sig in front of me, watching the readouts flash on my heads-up display. GPS rendered a 3D grid of the surrounding 5 blocks, displaying the other squad members as glowing Phoenix logos, spreading out and moving quick. I'll say this for Marcino's team. They knew their stuff. We heard a burst of auto-fire. My HUD indicated it was Zhu firing, the ammo counter on her VK dropping to 18 rounds. Then empty. Whoever we were chasing, she'd unloaded a full clip at them. Visual? Marcino hissed. Who's got visual? Sarge, he's headed your way, Ali warned. 732, over? Roger that, got him. I caught a heat sig in my optics, a figure darting across the street ahead of us. Freeze! Marcino roared. The figure glanced up, muscles tense. We had thermal imaging, HUDs, GPS, the world grid mapped out for us. Our target had nothing. Some snow goggles and winter gear, a bulky satchel in one hand. He twisted away, hurled himself toward another alley as Oshiro took a knee and opened fire, shredding an abandoned 4x4 parked nearby into scrap. The figure froze as the Sarge's targeting laser lit up his chest. Next burst does the same to your ribs. On your knees, Marcino roared. Knees, motherfucker, now! The figure raised his hands, dropped his satchel, sank down in the snow. Zhu, Ali, and Louis barreled into the street as MSG Marcino and Sergeant Oshiro closed in on the figure, weapons raised. Another 3 targeting lasers lit up the figure's chest. You move, you die, Marcino warned. The MSG moved up slowly, eyes on that satchel. Everyone had heard about the airfield bomb, the explosion at the mine. Marcino was in no hurry to lose his legs to an IED. Is this thing gonna blow if I touch it? No, the figure said, voice trembling. I'm sorry, I... Ali slammed the butt of his VK into the back of the figure's neck, and I heard a squeal, high-pitched, terrified. That's when I realized, it's a kid, I said. She's a kid. I give a shit, Ali snarled, putting his boot in. Making me run? After curfew? You're in deep shit, you little bitch. Zhu knelt and opened the satchel carefully, bringing out a fistful of rectangular packages, sealed in wax paper and marked with Baytech ident stamps. Protein packs, Oshiro muttered. Military issue, Marcino growled. Where'd you get these? The girl on the ground was groaning, clutching the boot print Ali had left on her belly. Marcino knelt in the snow, gauntleted fist closing on the girl's shoulder and hauling her up out of the white. She squealed in pain, beginning to cry as the MSG ripped off her hood and ski mask. The mask was pink, grubby, dotted with designs I realized were teddy bears. She couldn't have been more than 10, stick-thin, dirty and ragged, dark, stringy hair that hadn't seen shampoo in months. Big brown eyes, filled with tears. What's your name? Marcino demanded. The girl just blubbed, crying out in pain as the sergeant squeezed her shoulder. Give me your goddamn name.
Huang Ying,
she gasped. There was a pause as each of us called up the civilian directory on our HUDs, scanned the names of every civilian in the colony. Zhu announced her finding first. No record, she said. Anyone else? Negative, Ali agreed. She's unregistered. I blinked at that. Every civvy in the colony who hadn't been liquidated after the occupation was tagged and logged into our database. For this girl to be unregistered, she'd had to have escaped the sweeps that rounded up the populace after the invasion, somehow remained hidden for 7 months, Oshiro muttered. Jesus. No wonder she looked almost starved. She must have been scrounging off stolen protein packs, gnawing them raw, sleeping in that dumpster. Other places Thermoptics couldn't find her. She was just a kid. How the hell had she lived through all that? Marcino drew out his service pistol, pointed it at the girl's head. That settles that, then. Hey, wait a minute, I said, stepping forward. What the hell are you doing? Any unregistered civilian is to be liquidated on site, the MSG said. Any civilian caught out after curfew is to be liquidated on site. Any civilian stealing military property is to be liquidated on site. Sarge, she's just a kid. She's an unregistered thief caught out after curfew. Orders are orders. You're just gonna shoot her? Are you fucking crazy? Hey, Oshiro, get a leash on your cherry, Ali growled. Oshiro, what the fuck? I demanded. Stop them! Oshiro looked at me then, red thermoptics burning in all that night and white. The little girl was crying, tears frozen in her lashes, ice in her hair, her pink ski mask covered in teddy bears laying in the snow. The sarge looked at the chevrons and rockers on Marcino's arm, 6 to her 3. Master Sergeant Marcino, Oshiro said. Permission to speak, sir. The pistol cracked, louder than that howling wind, louder than any sound I'd ever heard in my life. Blood on the snow. Blood and pink teddy bears. Permission denied, Marcino said. He holstered his pistol, looked at his squad. Zhu, call it in. Wait here for the cleaners. Everyone else, back to the APC. I don't remember moving. I just remember crashing into Marcino with all the force my Atlas could generate, smashing us through a brick wall and into an empty apartment building beyond. We spilled into some abandoned living room, frost on the windows, dust on the knickknacks, my armored fist slamming into Marcino's armored face and barely scratching the enamel. I felt hands on my shoulders, Oshiro roaring in my ear to stand down. Marcino slugged me on the chin, Ali between us bellowing at Oshiro to put a lid on me, Zhu demanding I get my hands in the air, rifle trained on my chest. Voices raised, servos and nano-weave muscle whining, Oshiro wrestling me to the ground. Get a hold of yourself! Lindstrom! Calm the f*** down! Zhu still had her rifle pointed at me, Marcino dragging himself off the floor, boots crunching in the ruins of the living room, the broken picture frames and shattered glass. Get him up, he snarled. Oshiro glanced his way. Sergeant, the specialist is, get him up! Oshiro hauled me to my feet, one gauntlet on my forearm to make sure I wasn't going to fly at Marcino again. The MSG looked me up and down, running his fingertips across his suit's jaw where I'd slugged him. Nice shot, he murmured. Striking a superior officer, a popular pastime up on the Magellan? You just shot a fucking kid, I spat. You're not an officer, you're an animal. Marcino tapped the stripes and rockers on his arm. These say different, Cherry. I noticed a series of cross-hatched lines over his heart. 17 in total. A kill tally, I realized. An old scripture quote was stenciled across his breastplate. I am not come to bring peace, but a sword. Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34. Sergeant, the specialist just hit planetside 2 weeks ago, Oshiro said. He doesn't know the score down here. Christy made me responsible for him, so if you've got grief, it's mine to wear. But you bring him up on charges, we're just going to be down one more tech head, and we're already stretched thin enough to starve. Marcino stared at me, 8 red eyes in his atlas glowing in the dark. Zhu's laser sight poised over my chest, breath rasping in my lungs. The MSG finally turned to Oshiro. Get him to the APC. He makes one wrong move on the way back to barracks, I'll bury you so deep in the brig you'll forget the color of daylight. You read me, Sergeant? Yes, sir, Oshiro said. Loud and clear, sir. Oshiro dragged me out through the hole we'd punched in the wall, shattered brick and mortar, the winter already creeping inside. We passed the red, spattered-on-pink teddy bears, the stolen rations lying forgotten in the snow. This is f***ed up, Oshiro, I said. We're supposed to be soldiers, not a goddamn execution squad. Wasting a little kid for stealing a couple of protein packs? That shit isn't right. Oshiro stopped dead, spoke to me like I was 5 years old. Welcome to Kurenza, Cherry. I am officially reporting Marcino Ray, Master Sergeant, Ali Kazim, Corporal, Zhu Yingtai, Private, Louis Linden, Private, for contravening universal engagement protocols as outlined in the Iraqi Accord, 2041, specifically sections 17A, 1 through 13, and 18D, 2 through 6. In addition, Master Sergeant Marcino has violated 4A, 1 through 26, and all of Section 5. As I mentioned, if I am required to testify at court-martial, I will make myself available as my duties allow. I look forward to hearing from you. Lindstrom, Reese, Specialist. Assignment, Kurenza Colony.
Baytech Industries. Radio transmission, Baytech Planetside Comms. Atlas Channel L0091. Participants: Jake Christie, First Lieutenant, Baytech Ground Forces; Reese Lindstrom, Specialist, Baytech Ground Forces. Date: 08:30:75. Timestamp: 03:04 hours.
You're wasted, Planetside Cherry. Honestly, you should be running the comedy circuit with this shit. Well, you're sleeping with your comms unit in, so that's something.
Sir, what? What time is it?
0300. I interrupt your beauty sleep.
No, no, sir. We got a tech fault? Where do you need me?
Oh, any place the fuck off this planet would be grand. But right now, I'd settle for the hell out of my squad.
Sir?
I'm going over your AAR because I have nothing better to do in the middle of the goddamn night than read fairy tales.
Sir, yes, sir. Thank you for—
Did your mother drop you on your fucking head when you were a baby, Lindstrom? Or did you just spend your youth snorting dust?
Sir, I'm not—
Shut the fuck up. I'll tell you when you can speak.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's almost well written, I'll give you that. You could make a fortune writing shitty sci-fi novels, except there's no money in publishing. But pray tell, am I supposed to hand this spectacular work of fiction up the chain?
Sir, I—
I said, shut the fuck up. Christ in heaven, don't make me have to put my atlas on, drag myself out into this blizzard, and shuffle down to your barracks. Because when I get there, I swear to God, you will wish your mother drowned your sorry ass at birth.
Yes, sir.
I suppose you think you're doing some good with this, Cherry. And I don't have the first clue what the fuck they taught you tech boys up on Magellan. But let me explain how this goes if I boot this report up to command. First up, Lieutenant Stephanie Tran, to whom Marcino and company report, gets woken up at 0400 and is informed that members of the 6th Platoon obeyed direct orders from Admiral Soon, but they're having charges leveled at them by some rook with his head up his ass anyway. Nothing comes of the charges, of course, because direct orders from Admiral Soon and all. But Lieutenant Tran tells Marcino about your AAR anyway, and pretty soon word spreads throughout the unit that you're a f***ing ret who can't keep what happens in the field in the field. And suddenly, the people who you depend on to watch your back don't trust you anymore, and they stop watching your back. Tell me what happens next, Lindstrom. You can speak now.
Sir, if Admiral Soon has ordered us to execute children, then he's issuing immoral—
No! Shut the fuck up again. I'm going to tell you this once. It might have been the done thing to go pissing your panties to the closest officer when someone stole your lollipop on the Magellan, but on the front line, we have something called chain of command. You report to Oshiro, she reports to me. And if you'd gone to her first, you'd have saved me the trouble of dealing with this bullshit. You're new here, I get that. But if I get another report from you, writing out fellow pounders for doing their goddamn jobs, I will feed you to the fucking wolves and applaud when they shit your bones. You read me, Lindstrom?
Sergeant O'Shea didn't report the incident, sir?
Jesus wept. Your mother bounced you like a G-ball, didn't she? You're on Enviro Systems in the OC tomorrow. I'm freezing in here. Bring O'Shea with you. I want the full diagnostic of the whole rig by 1500. You read me, Lindstrom?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Good. Chrissy out.
Fuck me.
Video journal transcription prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
The snow clears on one of Asha Grant's video journals to reveal not Grant, but her miniature sidekick, Katya Kowalska. The little girl's making faces, puffing out her cheeks, poking out her tongue, crossing her eyes, and observing the results on the screen. A voice sounds behind her, laughing.
Stop that, silly girl.
Grant wraps both arms around Katya's waist, lifting her away. Setting the girl down, she presses the button to stop her datapad filming, but she misses it, only turning off the display. So the camera keeps rolling, and we get to see what happens next. It's dinner time. Grant sits on the floor of her tiny storage room, cross-legged, with Katya in her lap. She peels the wrapper off a Baytech-issued BN2618 savory-flavoured protein meal supplement bar and breaks it in half, setting one piece aside. The other she keeps, and as the two talk, she breaks off bits and holds them up to Katya's lips. Each time, the little girl opens her mouth like a baby bird, and Asha pops in the next morsel. Those things taste like reconstituted and don't even start me on the real caramel-flavoured ones. But when you're 8 years old and short on cuddles, a pair of arms around you can help make a lot of things palatable. Grant spends the first part of the meal recounting the plot of a super-turbo-awesome team movie to Katya, taking her time over all the dramatic twists and turns. It seems she has a weakness for Brick, given how much narrative time his character gets. About 20 minutes in, Grant pauses to break another piece off the protein bar, and Katya takes a peek at her wrist, pushing up her sleeve so she can look at the tattoo there.
What's that?
She asks, tracing the letters with her finger.
S for...
But it's a complex script, and she squints at it, trailing off.
Samara,
Asha supplies quietly.
Here, eat this. I think this part looks delicious.
Katya obediently chows down, but speaks with her mouth full.
Samara's a name? Yes,
Asha whispers.
Yes, it is. My little sister.
But she says no more than that, and Katya doesn't ask. It's a little while before she speaks again, but when she does, it's out of nowhere.
Asha, where's my mummy? I'm not sure, baby girl.
Grant keeps her voice even, kisses the top of Katya's head.
But I bet she's trying to find you. And when we leave here, we'll go find her.
Katya chews another mouthful, considers that.
What about Daddy? Same deal,
Grant replies. Katya swallows, and her half of the protein bar is finished.
I'm still hungry,
she says, searching her lap for crumbs. I mean, seriously, looking for leftovers from one of those things? The kid must be starving. Grant doesn't hesitate, reaching for her own half and breaking off a piece to hold up to Katya's lips. The little girl turns her head.
Isn't that yours?
I ate before.
Grant lies.
Have a little more. We have to make sure you grow up big and strong.
Katya opens her mouth, and in another piece goes. Grant's visible over her shoulder, eyes closed, shadowed, face drawn. But perhaps she's taking some measure of comfort from the physical contact, too.
Asha,
Katya says, still thoughtful.
What happens when you die?
Grant goes still, takes a breath, makes herself speak.
Well, when someone dies, we bury them.
Start with the practical information, right? But she must know that won't be enough. Not for a kid living through the horrors of Carenza.
And we talk about them,
she continues.
We remember them, so in some ways they're always with us.
No,
Katya insists.
What happens? Are you just dead?
Grant kisses the top of her head.
You mean, do you go to heaven?
Yes.
What she should do here is bullshit her. Tell her.
Yes, of course, kid. I know with absolute certainty that you definitely go to heaven. And there are puppies there, too. Ice cream. All your favorite things. Heaven's the best.
Instead, Grant takes another deep breath.
Do you believe in God, Katya?
I don't know.
The kid replies.
Should I? Is God real?
Well, that's why we talk about believing. We don't know. But some people believe so, and hope so. And those people think you do live on after you die. Just in a different way from the way you live now.
Katya considers this.
That would be better than not doing it,
she concludes.
What do you think?
Grant pops the last piece of protein bar into her baby bird's mouth, gathers herself.
I think we do live on,
she says.
I hope we do. But I don't know, so I have to believe. Sometimes it's easy, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I wish I was better at it.
Her eyes are bright. She's tipping her head back to stop the tears spilling down her cheeks.
So?
Katya's working it out in her head.
If people we know have died, maybe we see them when we die?
That's what I believe, baby girl,
Grant replies, swallowing hard. She unwraps an arm from Katya's waist to swipe at her eyes.
But I don't think they want us to be done living just yet. I think they'd rather we tried as hard as we can to stay alive. So let's do that, okay?
Katya twists in Asha's lap to wrap both arms around her neck and press a kiss against her cheek.
Okay,
she whispers.
And, Asha?
Yes, Katya?
I think you're very good at believing.
Video journal transcription prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
The static clears to show Asha Grant sobbing, her hand trembling so hard she nearly knocked the datapad off the crate it's resting on.
Katie!
She gulps her cousin's name, bowing her head, shoulders shaking. Her messy black ponytail is visible, tied up with a piece of string. Eventually, she looks up, eyes red, breath shuddering.
She left me her gladiator toy on my pillow, Katie. She climbed down while I was finishing work, and she left me her toy because she knew I was upset. She was trying to comfort me. She's trying to comfort me. This kid, Katie. This little girl.
Grant tries to steady herself, but though she manages to keep her voice soft as she starts, it doesn't take long to rise.
Do you know why I came here, Katie? Why I really came here? I never told you. You never asked, but it wasn't because I got myself stabbed. It was because I wasn't there when Samara died. My own sister. and I was missing. They told you a G-car hit her, right? And because I had to sneak back to the club to make sure I was the cool kid, and I got myself f***ing stabbed, I wasn't there. I was in a f***ing hospital bed, 2 floors above her, while they tried to figure out who I was and where my parents were. And as I lay there, my little sister bled out and faded away while the doctors tried to save her. And my parents tried to find me to say goodbye. To say...
She loses hold of herself again, burying her head in her hands, silent but for sobs for the next 2 minutes. When she speaks again, it's with her head still down.
And I wasn't there. After she was gone and they finally figured out where I was, my parents had to come 2 floors up and see their other daughter in a hospital bed as well. I failed everyone. I wasn't there to hold Samara's hand at the end. In this strange place she didn't know, surrounded by strange people. I wasn't there to say goodbye. I wasn't there to walk her home from school, to tell her to look before she crossed the street. I wasn't there, and I should have been there, and I...
She looks up, and those eyes can see forever. Haunted.
And I couldn't tell you when I got here. I didn't want you to know. I still don't. I'd never tell you this if you were going to hear me. Igot has killed her. But I'm not letting Katya down. I can't. I can't.
Her hands come up to try and wipe her face clean, and she sniffs, deep and inelegant, then abandons the attempt to make herself look civilized. There's nothing civilized about where she is, after all. I'll never forget the way she's looking at the camera when she speaks again.
Katie. What if I can't get Reese to do it? It's been days, and he still hasn't given me an answer. Everything depends on it, and I don't know whether to push him harder or to hold my breath and wait, or... What if he doesn't say yes? How do I do this?
10 seconds of silence pass. 20, 30, a minute. She reaches out abruptly to turn off the datapad. She knocks it off the crate, and the walls and ceiling whirl by, packing crates and pipes and darkness. Then, she finds the switch, and the camera clicks off.
Family Day, August 29th, 2575, 1000 to 1400 hours. All Carenza residents wishing visiting privileges to the detention center must apply in writing to their sector administrator before 082775 using their resident identification number. Access passes will be granted on a priority, case-by-case basis to family members only. Administrator decisions are final. No physical contact will be allowed. Any resident found in possession of or attempting to smuggle in contraband will be punished severely, along with their family members. Any infraction of protocol will result in punishment for all family members. ID tags must be worn at all times. Baytech Industries.
Briefing note. Emails from Joran Corrales, Carenza Resistance Leader, to his Baytech Sector Administrator.
Intercepted personal message local system. To Admin Sec 1B from Corrales Joran. Incept 0908 hours. 08:30:75. Subject: Family Day.
Sir, I am writing to you on a matter of utmost urgency. I participated in Family Day yesterday. Thank you again for approving my request, and visited my wife, Aline, and daughter, Mia, in Detention Center 3. While there, I learned that both my wife and my daughter, who is only 13, have been receiving unwanted attention from one of the guards assigned to their area, a Private Liam Gorski. When my wife attempted to pass a complaint through official channels, she was met with punitive measures, and both she and my daughter were placed on half rations with no explanation. Private Gorski has not been reprimanded and continues to behave in an inappropriate manner. My wife is not a well woman. She suffers from Rowland's syndrome, a chronic anxiety disorder, and there is no longer medication in the colony to treat her symptoms. Private Gorski's actions are placing her under further stress, and I am concerned for her health. I am asking permission to move my family into the miners' barracks, where I can better look after them. This will not impede my work. A review of last month's productivity assessment will show I am well within my quotas. Furthermore, I am seeking a formal reprimand against Private Gorski for his actions. This may be a time of war, but the Iraqi Accord clearly outlines the rules of conduct for combatants among civilian populaces. I thank you for your consideration. Joran Corrales, Resident ID E892KAR, Engineer, Wallace Ulyanov Consortium, Building Better Tomorrows.
Acquisition Team Report, Baytech Industries. To Corrales, Joran, from Admin Sec1B. Incept 0913 hours, 08:30:75. Subject, Family Day.
Request denied. Admin, Sector 1B. Baytech Industries. Tomorrow today.
Intercepted personal message local system. To Admin, Sec 1B, from Corrales, Joran. Incept 12:57 hours, 08:30:75. Subject, Family Day.
Sir, while I understand the need for security and separating workers from their families, I am hoping you will reconsider your decision. My wife is extremely unwell. Between the lack of medication for her condition and the undue stress of the occupation, I'm afraid she's simply not coping. Both myself and my daughter are frightened for her safety, not only from Private Gorski, but from herself. My daughter is 13 years old. She should be playing with her friends and thinking about schoolwork, not trying to stop her mother from flying apart at the seams and constantly beating off the advances of an adult soldier who should know better. I served for 7 years in engineering and repairs in military shipyards, sir. I know how a soldier should conduct himself in time of war, and this is not it. I know I am asking for an exception here, but I am also asking for some simple human compassion. If my family cannot move in with me, could I, perhaps, be allowed to stay in the detention center, or at least visit it more than once a month? Please, I am begging you. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Thanking you in advance. Joran Corrales, Resident ID E892KAR, Engineer, Wallace Ulyanov Consortium, Building Better Tomorrows.
Acquisition Team Report, Baytech Industries. To Corrales, Joran, from Admin, Sec 1B. Incept 13:03 hours, 08:30:75. Subject, Family Day.
Request denied. Administrator decisions are final. Admin, Sector 1B. Baytech Industries. Tomorrow, today.
Briefing note. Reply from Corrales, which was found deleted in his email client.
Intercepted personal message local system. Message status, draft, discarded. To Admin Sec 1B, from Corrales, Joran. Incept 13:27 hours, 08:30:75. Subject, Family Day.
You motherfucker. You fucking pig. God, what I would fucking give for 5 minutes alone with you in a room without windows. No fucking guns, no fucking suits, just you and me and my fucking fists. I'd kill you, you slimy shit-eating fucking bastard. I would kick your fucking jaw loose and push my fist into your smarmy fucking mouth and rip out your fucking tongue.
I would stomp your fucking head into the ground until it was nothing but red slime in between the treads of my boots and piss on your fucking corpse, and then, you'd know exactly what you are. You weak bastard. You motherfucker. She's 13 fucking years old. Do you know what it is to lose, you fucking pig? Because I'm gonna teach you. I'm gonna fucking teach you, you filthy fucking son of a...
Discard. System flush.
Briefing note. Some quiet time between Specialist Rhys Lindstrom and Sergeant Yukiko Oshiro.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130089.
Footage begins inside the gloomy cabin of a Baytech armored personnel carrier. Present are Specialist Rhys Lindstrom, who's pulled duty on the wheel, and Sergeant Yukiko Oshiro, who is sitting with her boots up on the dashboard. Both have their helmets off, faces underscored by the glowing red of their suit LEDs. It's dark outside. The snow has eased up for the moment, but the sky is full of boiling clouds, lightning illuminating the frozen tableau around them. The APC is heading back to barracks after a long stint, first at the OC to fix some fritzing computer systems, then the rest of the day at the primary communications array. The APC crosses over one of Baytech's makeshift bridges, spanning the kilometer-deep canyons that opened in the colony ice shelf after the invasion bombardment. The tires drub-dub-dub over the corrugated metal, wind howling in the fissure below. Both Lindstrom and Oshiro look 17 shades of beat. The clock reads 0208 hours. Oshiro sighs, leans back. She's pulled the golden coin she wears around her neck out from under her breastplate, pressed it between her teeth as she mutters, "Well, we definitely missed the card game. Again." Lindstrom only grunts in reply. He looks worse than Oshiro, dark bags under his pretty grey eyes, staring at the bridge ahead without blinking. The sergeant raises an eyebrow, looks at him sidelong. "Something on your mind, Specialist?" "No." "No, ma'am, and don't bullshit me. That sullen little pout on those pretty boy lips is a dead giveaway. You run out of hair product. What the fuck are you sulking about?" "I'm not sulking," Lindstrom says. "Cherry, you are the sulkiest bitch in this platoon, including the ones that are on the razzle. Now spit it out before I court-martial your ass." Lindstrom pouts harder. You can see the words struggling behind his teeth. They've been brewing there for a whole day now, kept in place by Lindstrom's better judgment. But it looks like fatigue and Oshiro's badgering and Asher Grant's tirade are finally getting the better of his instinct for self-preservation, and once they make it across the bridge, he slows down the APC, pulls over to the side of the road. "All right, fine," he says, turning to Oshiro. "Why didn't you back me up?" "What?" Oshiro frowns. "When?" "When?" Lindstrom glares. "When those bastards in Marchino's platoon shot that kid. When else? I sent a report up to Christie and he chewed my head off." "Yeah," Oshiro nods. "He told me about that. Stupid. Chain of command, Rook." "Why didn't you report it to Christie, Oshiro?" The woman rolls her eyes as if talking to a child. "Because Marchino was following orders. Because any unregistered civilian is to be liquidated on sight. Any..." "I know, I know," Lindstrom spits. "Admiral Soon's orders. But they're immoral orders, Oshiro. You're not an idiot. You were about to say something when Marchino pulled that trigger. You know how fucked up what we're doing here is." "Welcome to Carenza, Cherry." "Don't give me that gung-ho pounder bullshit." Oshiro sighs, rubs her temples. "What do you want from me, Lindstrom?" "I want you to open your eyes. We're committing war crimes. Actually, scratch that, fucking atrocities, and we sit around playing cards and joking and pretending like nothing is going on. They killed a little girl, Yukiko. A fucking kid, for Christ's sakes. And you think I don't lay awake at night thinking about it? The woman's voice grows louder, bordering on a shout. When your lily-white ox was up on the Magellan in the first days of this invasion, I was down here, pounding with the rest of them. When the brass decided to liquidate all non-essentials in the colony, you think Admiral Soon and his command staff flew down from the Churchill and got out their nice shiny dress pistols? F*** no. They gave the dirty work to the grunts, Lindstrom. Like always, to me and Duke and Carp and all the rest. Horror dawns on Lindstrom's face. 2,500 corpses reflected in his eyes. You're talking about those people in the hole. Jesus Christ, Oshiro, you killed those people. We followed orders. We did what we were trained to do. You think every one of us doesn't see those people in our dreams? You think we sit around swapping girl stories because this is a fucking joke to us? Oshiro slams her fist into the door, her power armor putting a dent in the case-hardened steel. We do it because we're trying to remember what it was like to be human fucking beings. It's not enough, Lindstrom says, to just let... We follow orders. We follow orders or people get killed. Our people. That's what it is to be a soldier, Lindstrom. You forgot what happened to Private Day when you first landed on this rock? Or those coffins you saw lined up on the airfield? This colony is illegal. Everyone on it is a goddamn criminal. You think the WUC was using the hermium they mined here to manufacture kittens and fucking rainbows? That doesn't make it right. This is a war! Oshiro roars. Right is whatever the people who are standing at the end say it is. Right is decided by the people who win. The kid looks at the coin hanging around her neck. Your father teach you that? Oshiro's eyes grow wide, then narrow almost as quickly. You are dangerously close to the fucking line, specialist. I read about him, the kid says. Masaru Oshiro fought in the Cortez campaign for the UTA. Just a grunt like you. When AFC Rebs blew the wormhole into the system, his company was so starved of supplies they were eating the dead. But still, your old man used to go out every night when the ion storms cut off air support. I know who my father was. He'd take a lifter drone. Lindstrom charges on over Oshiro's warning. Just one guy and a bot, and he'd crawl out into no man's land and retrieve the wounded, drag them back to the trenches. UTA troops and rebels didn't matter to him. They needed help, so he helped them. And afterward he said, a soldier's first duty is to their conscience. Oshiro snaps. Not her company, Lindstrom insists. Not her commander, not her corps, her conscience. This isn't Cortez, Oshiro sighs. This isn't neat little lines of pounders facing each other across no man's land. This is bombs in our fuel trucks and poison in our air filters. This is IEDs in our latrines and broken glass in our B-packs. This is not even knowing who the enemy is. This is complicated. I'm starting to think it's dead simple. The woman shakes her head. You might be singing a different tune when it's one of your friends lying inside one of those coffins, Cherry. No way, the kid declares. Spoken like someone who's never lost anyone he cared about. Oshiro, there's no fucking way. The sergeant slumps back into her chair, stares at the icy road ahead. Take us back to barracks, specialist. Oshiro, that's an order. The kid stares, lips parted as he draws breath to. Drive! Oshiro roars. You disobey another command from me and I'll slap your ass in the brig so fast your fucking head will spin. Lindstrom slumps, puts the APC back into gear. Ma'am, yes ma'am. The kid locks his eyes on the road and locks his mouth shut. Oshiro stares out the window, that gold coin pressed tight between pale lips. the entire ride back to the OC. The pair don't speak a word.
Baytech Industries, radio transmission. Baytech Planetside Comms. Atlas Channel L0091. Participants. Reese Lindstrom, Specialist, Baytech Ground Forces. Duke Wozniak, Private, Baytech Ground Forces. Date 08-31-75. Timestamp 03-04 hours.
Hey, Duke. Duke? Duke?
Hustler?
Yeah. You awake?
The Duke is awake. Now. What time is it?
0300.
Are we under attack? We better be under one motherfucker of an attack. Like glaciosaurs with laser cannons or something.
Not quite.
Why are you hitting the Duke up on comms? He's 4 bunks down from you.
I didn't want to wake anyone.
The Duke regrets to inform you that you have failed in your mission.
I can't sleep.
The Duke hopes you're shitting him right now.
You hear about that shit with Marcino?
You mean the snafu when you punched the master sergeant in the Grin Factory yesterday? That shit.
He killed a kid, Duke. And Oshiro didn't stop him. It's fucked up.
You need to relax, kid. Oshiro is the best damn sergeant in this whole fucked up division. She's steering you right. And walking around wound up tight on the front lines is a good way to get popped. Take it from the Duke.
How long you been pounding ground for?
4 years. 214 days, 18 hours.
You got family at home?
You dusted, chum. Ain't you watched a war flick before? The minute the handsome squaddy starts talking to the plucky hero about his family or femme back home, that's the signal he's getting X'd out in the next scene.
Nobody's gonna X you, Duke. You're too pretty to die.
The Duke is talking about you getting X'd, hustler. He's the plucky hero of this particular war story. He's the one who sleeps in his Atlas. Your sorry ass is as dead as fried chicken.
Four years, huh?
214 days, 18 hours.
Tell me the truth. Have you ever been in shit this deep before?
No. The Duke has seen some shit, no doubt. But nothing this messy.
How do you deal with it?
The same way soldiers have been dealing with it since the beginning of time, hustler. Shit your pants, then dive in and swim. It's not like you've got any other choice.
No other choice.
Get some Z's, kid. Things always look darkest in the middle of the night. You'll feel better on the morrow.
Yeah, maybe. Thanks, chum, you know, for listening.
No problem. You wake him up in the middle of the night again, the Duke will kill you and your whole family.
Night, Duke.
Sweet dreams, hustler.
Briefing note. Another exchange between Lindstrom and Grant, 2 days after the incident with Marcino's squad. Grant has waited an agonizing 11 days since first making her plea to Lindstrom.
So, pebbles.
What about them?
Suppose I want to be one.
Before we get into this, do you know how dangerous it is for me to have this conversation? You don't seem to get what Baytech has been doing here.
Believe me, I get it. Maybe I didn't before, but I get it now.
I'm trusting you with my life. But one way or another, my life's going to end up on the line. Are you saying you're prepared to do something to change that?
Listen, I get that you're pissed at me, and I know we haven't spoken in 3 years, but I still care about you, and I'm not going to let anything happen to you, okay?
I don't understand what that means. When Magellan's repaired, you'll leave. You don't actually believe they're going to let you take your girlfriend with you, do you?
I don't think either of us is under the illusion that label applies anymore, but I don't give a shit. I want to help. Anything you need. Anything.
Are you ready for this? Do you really know what it means? You've seen the way they treat us, what they do to us. Imagine what they'll do to you.
There are good people among the BT troops, Ash. I know that's hard to believe, but it's hard to explain how insidious this shit is. How easy it becomes the new normal. You have to be neck deep in it to believe it.
That is not going to stop those good people from killing us when this is done. We need to get out before that happens.
Nobody even knows you people are here. We're days away from being ready to jump. We have comms locked down via an agent on Heimdall Station. WUC doesn't even know you're in trouble.
Then we have to call for help. That UTA battleship showed up when the colony sent an SOS the day of the attack. Maybe there is someone else who can hear us.
The chances of that are next to nothing.
Someone is eventually going to come looking. We have to let people know we're still alive.
I gotta think.
Every day we waste is a day closer to the Magellan being ready to jump, and a day closer to me getting lined up against a wall with the rest of the non-essentials.
That's not going to happen. I promise.
Mobile Jump Platform Magellan will be operational in 4 days, 14 hours, 24 minutes. 89.5% hermium required to jump.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 72130094.
Our footage opens on a tableau I like to call Portrait of a Bad Idea. Nick Malikov is sitting on a cot in the Mao's infirmary, leaning against the wall. He has his head tipped back and he's holding a bloodied cloth to his bloodied nose, glaring at the ceiling with two rapidly blackening eyes. The skeleton medical staff have all hurried into a nearby cubicle from which screams are emerging, though they, the screams, not the staff, start to quiet just as our second player makes her entrance. And who do we have here? It's Ms. Hannah Donnelly, stalking through the infirmary door. She doesn't look happy, and her displeasure finds a target quickly enough. Zeroing in on Malikov, she walks over to him and folds her arms. "What happened to you?" she asks, in a tone that openly supposes that whatever it was, it's his fault. "Nothing," he says, slightly muffled. He risks lowering his head so he can look at her. "Just passing through, nothing to see here. How have you been?" She leans down to inspect his face, eyes narrowed, though at least in her case, it isn't because somebody's punched them. "Do you still have all your teeth? Good luck finding someone around here with the time to apply the regrowth for you." "Hannah, it's fine," he promises, pausing to bare his intact teeth in a quick, mirthless grin. "See? All there." "Well, what?" Donnelly blinks, for the first time noticing the black slimline case strapped to Malikov's back over his flight suit. "Wait, is that a parachute?" Malikov nods, dabbing at his still bloody nose. "Found it in a storage locker down on level 8. Falk and his goons must have done some work in Atmo. All kinds of weird shit down there. I swear, I found this inflatable..." "Why are you wearing a parachute, Nick?" "Babyface has been training me in the Chimeras. You do realize those fly in space, right?" "You know, someone did mention that." Donnelly frowns, obviously keen to know what the fuck he's thinking. But Malikov's next question stops her interrogation in its tracks. "Did you come to check on me?" "Of course not," she says, straightening and planting her hands on her hips. "I didn't even know you were here, though I don't know why I'm surprised. It's just that when you came in, seemed like you were looking for someone." "Chief Grant," she supplies. "I told Katie I'd check in." He nods. "He okay? I was going to visit him in my time off." He's coming along. I'm trying to keep an eye on him when I'm not working through the files. They both pause as the screams start up again behind the curtain, but neither makes a move to interfere. They lack the expertise, and...